Thank you for listening to the Dothan First podcast. We hope you enjoy today's inspiring message.
Go ahead and grab your copy of God's Word. And can you say this with me? Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. And I can become all that God said I could be. So today, I'll hear God's Word. I'll receive God's Word. And I will obey God's Word because I love His Word. Now, if you'll turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look so great today. I promise you, you have your fall and winter clothes on and you look great today. We don't get to dress in fall attire or winter attire very often, so we'll take it when we can get it. And but today, as you're turning to John chapter 7, and of course, for those joining with us online today right now, I want to say welcome. We're so glad that you're joining with us here. And I will say this, that even though it's great to be able to connect online, there's nothing like being in the house of God. And if you're in this area, we'd love to be able to connect with you and fellowship with you. It'd be great. It'd be wonderful. And we'd have a great time together. We want to make sure you feel at home when you show up here today. And the people here will make sure to make you feel at home. Can you just give them a shout out right now? Come on, tell them you care. We will make you feel at home. Well, as you're turning to John chapter 7 and preparing to look through some notes, I did hear a story one time about a man who was late for a meeting. He was driving all over the downtown area in Dothan, trying desperately to find a place to park. He couldn't find a place anywhere. He was panicking because he was going to miss his meeting. And he was really not a Christian. He didn't pray very much, really never attended church. You know, he was what they call a CEO Christian, a Christmas and Easter only person. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, you'll get that later. Anyway, and so he decided that he was going to pray. And of course, it was right around this time, looking at all the football schedule and football season, and he loved football, and I do too, nothing wrong with it. But the reason that he always told his wife why he wasn't going to go to church is because he needed to watch football. So in the panic of the moment, he looked up to God and said, God, I beg of you, please have mercy on me. If you will show me where a parking space is so I can get to this meeting, I promise I will never skip church to watch football ever again. And amazingly, miraculously, a parking space appeared. And he said, oh, no, never mind, I found one. Okay. How many of us kind of do that to the Lord in our desperation, in our panic? We say, God, if you'll do something supernatural. And then we attribute that supernatural to something that's simply natural. Today, I want to talk about the supernatural. I want to talk about being spirit empowered. What does that mean to be spirit empowered? We're going to talk about understanding and unlocking the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. Everyone that is a believer in Jesus Christ has gifts that the Holy Spirit has given. Every one of us. And the worst thing you could do is not know you have it or not use it. You cannot know what that spiritual gift is, and we want to help you with that because we launched our Grow Track, and in 2020, we're going to do that all throughout 2020 at different times of the year, and we have them already listed on the website of all the times that we do our Grow Track. I'd encourage you all to go through it, but we actually help you define and show you what your spiritual gifts are. 26 different unique facets of the Holy Spirit in the gifts that are outlined in Scripture. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I will say spiritual gifts are and have been the DNA of the New Testament church, and it is the DNA of Dothan First. The gifts are cemented in to this church and its history. It's part of our DNA. The New Testament describes Christianity always in a supernatural way. It wasn't just a natural thing. It was a supernatural thing. John chapter 7. Let's look at it together. This is Jesus talking on the last and greatest day of the festival. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, here we go. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Verse 38. Some people who believe in me, as the scriptures have said, is that what it says? Some people, just a few people, no. Whoever, everybody say whoever. Whoever believes in me, that includes everybody in this room that's a believer in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified, meaning he had not yet died, resurrected, and ascended. How many of you like getting presents for your birthday? Come on, put it up. If you love that, if you like those presents on maybe on Christmas, how many of you love the Christmas presents? I love it. Now, my kids know the favorite for me is, especially as they're younger and don't have a paycheck, because what I know is if they're going to buy me a nice expensive gift, it means that they had to use my credit card or debit card to get the gift for me, so it cost me something. But my favorite thing to get is a homemade card. Favorite of all, if I get a homemade card for my kids, they know that's the greatest thing in all the world. Why? Because it kind of shares with me how they feel about me. And I'm, you know, if you look at the love languages, if you've ever read that book or taken the test, I'm the words of affirmation guy. That's the thing that kind of speaks to me, that speaks my love language, is that. And so them writing those things down is really significant. But I also enjoy different, gifts, birthday present. But if you've ever seen a kid on Christmas or on their birthday and they unwrap a gift, and then they look at the gift for 30 seconds, especially on Christmas, and they, after saying, yay, they push the gift aside and go after another box. And I will tell you this for you young parents in the room, the boxes are more significant than the gift that's inside the boxes. So I suggest for all young parents, just wrap up a bunch of empty boxes. You will save yourself a bunch of money because those kids will just love to play with the paper and the boxes. Okay, I'm not, don't necessarily do that. I'm just saying, it's one thing to have the gift. It's another thing to use and enjoy the gift. Now, around Halloween, candy is given out. I have my Tootsie Roll. And now, how many of you have ever seen the Food Network? They did about, now, if you're a Pentecostal, charismatic churchgoer, you love the Food Network because we all love food around the church. I don't know why that is. We're just food lovers. But the Cooking Channel and Food Network had come out with about 300 plus episodes of something called Unwrapped. Anybody ever seen that? Over 300 episodes? Okay, it is where they show you how they make candies and goodies and treats and all that stuff. And then of course, it gets wrapped up, individually packaged and sent out. And of course, the distribution is in the millions and billions of pieces of candy that go out every year. But they show you how they make it. And I love that because I enjoy candy. I am 5 years old when it comes to candy. I don't know what happens to me. I don't know. I was not deprived as a child of candies. My parents got me candy, but for some reason, my mom would buy me those fun size, Snickers or Three Musketeers or Milky Way or Reese's peanut butter cups, and she would buy it at the grocery store in the fun sizes so she could give me one in my lunch every day. And then my mom would go maybe back out to run an errand or go shopping or something very quick. And sure enough, she would come home and the cabinet would be empty because I ate them all, or most all of them. And that was last week. So I'm just saying, it would be so dumb of me to take this wrapped piece of candy and throw it in my mouth and start chomping. Why? Because the goodness is on the inside. And I don't know the good, sweet taste of the Tootsie Roll until I unwrap it. And so it is with the gifts. We can talk about the gifts all day long. We can explain the gifts. We can look biblically at the gifts. We can outline the gifts. We can talk theologically, doctrinally. We can talk historically about the gifts. We can map out what we believe about God's scripture, but until you unwrap the unique spiritual gift that God has given each and every believer, it then becomes worthless, like a book on a shelf that just gets dusty over time. It's time for us to dust off the gifts. We're going to talk about that today, how to unwrap and use the gift, and not just to seek the gift, but the giver of the gift. The Holy Spirit is a giver. We're going to talk about his significance in our lives, the supernatural gifts. Now, as I said, all Christians have been given a unique gift from the Holy Spirit. None of them have been given because of natural talent, education, or ability. That's really important because you might see somebody operating in a supernatural, Holy Spirit-given gift and think, ooh, God must really love them. Ooh, they are so super spiritual. I don't even know if I can be their friend because they operate in a spiritual gift. They must have a special natural ability to be able to do that. Can I tell you, this is not natural, this is supernatural. The uniqueness of the gift is not attached to spiritual maturity. And I'm going to talk about that in just a few moments. They are not rewards for achievements. Ooh, you did something good. You helped old ladies across the street. Now you get a spiritual gift. That is not the way it works. You need to understand that God is the giver of the gift. And it is not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord. It's the will of God to give those gifts for the good of the body of Christ. God wants you to unwrap those spiritual gifts. And many churches, most all churches, acknowledge the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But some churches choose to simply relegate the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to just a prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's the last time you ever hear about the Spirit's work. But the New Testament church operated in those spiritual gifts all the time. So much so that the Apostle Paul had to give instruction and even correction about how to use those gifts in 1 Corinthians. In the Corinthian church, they were so enthusiastic about using the gift that they'd use it out of order, out of sync with the Spirit. The Bible says keep in line or in step with the Spirit. So there's a consistent walk of the order that God gives in using and operating in those gifts. So we first, I think, maybe need to go to the very beginning and talk about who is the Holy Spirit. Well, of course, he's the third person of the Trinity, but I would say for the explanation I've used with my own kids, I take out a piece of ice, I put a pan on the stove, and I turn on the heat. And I say, kids, this is H2O, okay? This piece of ice in solid form is H2O, okay? Now, you take that piece of ice, and now you set it in the pan, the frying pan that starts to fry, and it bubbles up, and the kids go, ooh. And they look at it bubbling up, and I say, now that's what we would call liquid H2O. That's not solid anymore. Now it's liquid. That's what we call water, but it's still H2O. And then I'll turn up the heat even more, and they'll see the steam rise up. And I'll say, you see that steam that's rising up? It goes up into the air. It's still H2O. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three in one. How can it be? Three in one. When we refer to an egg, what are you referring to? Is the egg the outer shell? Or is it the clear part when you crack it open? The albumen, or is it the yellow part, the yolk? Which part's the egg? Which part? All of it. Three unique and distinct parts, all one egg. Three distinct parts, H2O, all three different forms. Are you following this? And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, some people may have grown up hearing the term Holy Ghost, and they think, ooh, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost, or, you know, a scary movie. But that's not really the implication here. Is not someone that's scary. He's a comforter. Matter of fact, more than just a comforter, he brings us wisdom and comfort and guidance and power and conviction and truth. He points us to Jesus. He glorifies Jesus. And he gives us gifts. The Holy Spirit came to reveal the scriptures to us and to glorify Jesus, to give us power for the fruit and gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So, very first thing, number one, the Holy Spirit was promised. I'm going to try to move through this part very quickly. You can take the time to look at Scripture. From Genesis to Revelation, the Holy Spirit was there. Some people think he only appeared magically when Jesus ascended, but that's not the case. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, "And the world was formless without void, or void and formless, and the Spirit hovered over the deep." The Spirit was there in the very, 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 very beginning. And even before we wrote about him, he was there. Why? Because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are three in one. God in three persons. Now, let's keep talking about it. Let's go a little deeper. So you say, Mark, well, he was maybe in Genesis, but you don't see the Spirit after that in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, you do. You see him all throughout the scriptures, unique moments in time where the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon someone to give them a special ability for that moment. One of my favorites that gets overlooked is Bezalel. Bezalel was, the Bible says, that the power of the Spirit of God came on him to be an expert craftsman in the formation of the tabernacle, the temple at the time. So when you think about the uniqueness of God's Spirit coming on someone, craftsmanship is one of them. All kinds of spiritual gifts that we seem to think only come from spiritual moments in a worship service, after the third song, when we have a pause, when the pastor gives a pause, that's when the gifts are in operation. Are you kidding me? You really believe the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is there from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, when you see Revelation chapter 22, the Bible says the Spirit and the bride say, "Come, Lord Jesus." And you're telling me the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the Spirit that lives in us and dwells among us, are you kidding me that we're going to put him in a box that only happens after the third song, just if the pastor stops long enough? Are you kidding me? Or only if the Spirit, you know, moves us to sing more songs. If we'll just do that fourth song, if Pastor Adam, we can't do just two, we can't do three, we've got to do four, because that's when the Spirit moves. And he only moves if we really get jumping, or we really get dancing, or we come to the front and pray, or we come to the front and cry. That's the only way the Spirit moves. Listen, friends, you put God in a box. He is at work in the life of the believer all day long, every day of your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. Otherwise, why would the Holy Spirit give things like discernment? Don't you need discernment for business decisions too? For family crisis? I'm sorry, but I need the Holy Spirit for more than just 1 hour on a Sunday morning. I need him every single second of my life. And I need him in operation in moments of tragedy or crisis or times of need. If the Holy Spirit is just about prophecy, or just about speaking in tongues, or just about interpretation of tongues, what about the thing that Jesus called him, which was the advocate or the comforter? Man, when I'm at a funeral and I'm weeping and grieving over a lost loved one, I need the comforter. I need that spirit in operation in me in that moment. So here's what happens. God promised him in a unique way. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the prophet Joel says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Wow, you wouldn't think that dreaming a dream could happen after the third song if the pastor pauses, but you would be surprised at how many men of God are sleeping by that third song. I don't know, it's just God gives dreams. Anyway, and your young men will see visions. John the Baptist, talking about Jesus, said this in John 1:33. It says, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say in Mark chapter 1, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water, but he, talking about Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, John 16, Jesus himself says, right? He says, in this case, he says, unless I go away, meaning unless I resurrect and ascend to the Father, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, cannot come in the unique way. The Advocate will not come to you. What is he talking about there? Is he saying that the Holy Spirit was never resident in the life of believers throughout human history? No. What he's saying is, at this moment in human history, I will be with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. But now, a Comforter, a Holy Spirit will come and he will be in you. So now it's not just with us. Think about it like this. If you're talking about the human nature of Jesus in his humanity, he allowed himself to be born into humanity where he had a physical body, meaning he could only be at one place at one time. Well, if he's in Jerusalem, how can he be in Dothan? But when the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, comes, the Bible says he will be in you. Look at the Gatorade and just say, look at your neighbor and say, is it in you? Is it in you? Let's keep reading. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, the last words of Jesus before he ascended to the Father. Verse 4, on one occasion while he, Jesus, was eating with them, he gave them this command, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the, what? Gift. Everybody say gift. The gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Let's skip down to verse 8. Here it is, but you will receive power, or dunamis, dynamite power, unique and specific miracle-working power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. And this is how we get Dothan first. Even its name is through this one verse right here. You'll be my witnesses first in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth. What that basically means for us, if you think about Jerusalem, that was the location they were in. That was the smaller general city. So what we're saying here is, God, if you're going to move anywhere, don't pass by Dothan. But come to Dothan first. And if we're going to reach anybody in our region or in our world, we need to start with Dothan first. We got to go after those who are closest to us. And then what happens? He doesn't stop there. He says, then in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. What is that? That's the Alabama, and that's the United States of America. Right? We don't stop with just Dothan. We get all of Dothan saved, but there's still people outside in Alabama or in our nation that need God. Are you following this? And then what does he say? And then to the uttermost parts of the world, my friends, we need to reach every single human being on this planet with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's why we have missions and missionaries around the world. Let's keep reading. Verse 9, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. The cloud hid him from their sight. It's an amazing moment. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a unique experience that all believers can have as a gift from God if we'll ask. And it's not just an emotional experience. Some people think that that's what it is. Yes, there are human responses. Oftentimes people will weep when they receive that gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Others will be filled with joy, overwhelming joy. Others are just, they say they're overcome with love, like they've never experienced before. But whatever your experience is, you need to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about that in the days ahead. The second thing is this, the Holy Spirit was not just promised, but he was sent. Write that down. The Holy Spirit was sent. Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated on and came on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let's now look down to verse 15 to see the reaction of people around that didn't know or understand what was going on. And Peter had to boldly explain what was going on. And of course, the result was 3,000 were saved that very day. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. He looks at all these people who accuses this group of being drunk. There's 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost that were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And those different language groups that were walking by, because this was a special time of year and there was lots of visitors around from all different parts of the world, and the Bible says that as they heard these men and women speaking in tongues, the Bible says that they were able to hear them praising God in their native language, in a language that the disciples hadn't learned, but these people that were walking by understood by the Holy Spirit. It was an amazing moment. But Peter looks out among the crowd saying that, you know, these guys are looking up saying, man, this is crazy. There's a lot of people making a lot of noise up there. They must be drunk. And he says this, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. We just read this. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. Friends, let me just stop and say this. This right here was absolutely transformational in that culture. In the Jewish culture, it was about men and it was about leaders. That's not what this says. And it was the older men, not just the younger men. This says old men, young men. This says my servants. This says both men and women. Can I just tell you, God is not a racist and he is not sexist. He doesn't believe in classism or ageism. And you shouldn't either if you're a believer. That was a really good time for everybody to say amen. So let's just go back. Anybody that tells you that God is some kind of a respecter of persons, that he is a sexist, or that somehow he's a racist, or he's into classism or ageism, you need to understand this one verse unravels that whole mentality. Ah, that was good. Number 3, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. Here we go. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about the gifts. What gifts does the Holy Spirit give? Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. He says, now, verse 1, about the spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. Other verses say it like this, or other translations say, I don't want you to misunderstand. He's basically saying, look, I have this piece of candy. It's a gift I want to give to you. And by the way, if you were getting a little jealous when I was talking about having candy, maybe you didn't get any leftover treats. All of those trick-or-treaters that came to your door took all your candy and you're really disappointed. How many of you ever showed up at school and you had some candy and you were trying to open it up real quiet and careful-like, and you opened it up and all of a sudden the wrapper made a lot of noise and the teacher said, do you have enough for everyone? I have great news for you today. On your way out, we will be handing every single one of you some candy as a reminder to unwrap the spiritual gifts. That you unwrap the candy, you unwrap the spiritual gifts. So when you put that candy in your mouth, it'll be a reminder to you to unwrap it before you eat it. Are you following? Okay. All right. And everybody said amen to that. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. By implication, he's talking about all mankind here. Now to each one, the manifestation, verse 7, of the Spirit was given for the common good. Everybody say common good. This was not meant to give you some special superiority, supernatural gift so that you can look big, bad, and cool and spiritual in front of everybody. That's not what it was used for. According to this, the Spirit came upon people and gave them a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good of the people. We're going to talk about that in the days to come. Verse 8. To one there was given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. By the way, I'm going to take time, Lord willing, to unwrap these things each and every week for the next few weeks. The message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another faith, or other translations call it the gift of faith, because it has to make a distinguishing mark between the gift of faith and faith that's given to all human beings. There has been the measure of faith that God gives to each one of us to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Pastor Michael alluded to that last week when he said none of you brought hammers, screwdrivers, nuts and bolts, and things to make sure that your seats or your pews could hold you up. You didn't do stress testing on the pew before you sat down. When you sat in that seat, you were fully assured you had faith. You had a measure of faith. And we operate in that all the time. And God gave us a measure of faith, each one, to be able to do specific things. But this in particular, he gives as a gift of faith to operate courageously outside of your own natural ability. Let's keep going to the other gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers. Again, I'm going to take time to try to unwrap each one of these individually. To another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. By the way, this gift of the Spirit that he's talking about tongues and interpretation, is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a unique gift given to all believers who desire it, and it's available to all. This is separate. It's talking about the use of the gifts of tongues and interpretation in a service or in a setting that allows us to use that as a proof to unbelievers that God still moves, that God still uses miraculous powers. Let's keep going. Verse 11. All these are at work of one and the same Spirit. Everybody say, same Spirit. And he gives them each one just as he determines. Another translation says it like this: he alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, 1 Corinthians, what we just read, is not a comprehensive list of all the gifts that are available. Most theologians agree that the Greek construction of this particular passage indicates that you could put the words etc., etc., etc. And the reason why I say that is because people presume that these 9 that we just mentioned are the only ones available, but that's not the case. There's about 26 that can function in operation, and we can look at some of the other scriptural references here in just a moment, but all spiritual gifts are for all believers, and they are for today. Romans chapter 12 talks about a few others. Romans 12, 6 through 8 talks about how to use the gifts. We all have different gifts. That word gifts there is charismata, where we get charismatic. Or the charismatic movement, or we believe that we are charismatic in our faith, right? Some people actually term it like a denomination, charismatics. But that's where that comes from, the use of those gifts. According to the grace, karin or karis, the grace or favor given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. You'd say, wait a minute, you're talking about giving as a gift? There is something biblical about giving tithes and offerings, and we talk about that all the time. But there are certain people that they operate in that spiritual gift of giving, where God uniquely gave them. Some people think about spiritual gifts like either you preach or you sing. No. That's not the spiritual gifts or the end-all, be-all. Even having a gift of giving The gift to be able to do the work of your hands and then say, I want to do this to gain wealth or my business so that I can give to the work of the ministry. That is a supernatural gift from God. Don't neglect the spiritual gifts. Let's keep going. If it is leadership, let him govern it diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, Ephesians 4 sometimes gets mixed up with the idea of spiritual gifts and the ministry gifts. Let's look at that very quickly. Ephesians 4, verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, to do all the work of the ministry. Is that what it says? Mm-mm. Now, it doesn't give me as a pastor the right to negate my responsibility and give it over to somebody else to do the work of the ministry. No, no, no. But my calling is to help equip you. You and 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 you. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what background you came from or what race you are. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest Christian in all the world. God says, it's my calling to equip you to do the work of the ministry. I want to give you the tools to do what you're supposed to do for the kingdom of God and for your future. The difference between the ministry gifts and the gifts of the Spirit is the ministry gift is a life's calling and a life's work. Let me explain it like this. If you've ever seen people that are working to get to the Olympics, they don't just sit around and wait for the Olympics to show up. They work tirelessly every single second of every single day. They eat, sleep, and drink the Olympics. And that's all they do. They're always constantly living in a continuation of every day, knowing that there is a goal in mind, and so it is with the pastor or prophet or evangelist or teacher in these cases. It's not like I go to bed and I'm no longer thinking about the work of the ministry. It is my life's calling. It's not just what I do. It's the calling on my life. I'll say it like this. You didn't hire me to be a pastor. I was a minister of the gospel before I became a pastor here at this church. And it wasn't just because I had a title somewhere at a particular church. It was the calling of God. It never leaves me. It's constant. It's always there. And you know what's really cool about these ministry gifts is the Bible says that it is not like, unlike the spiritual gifts that God gives through his Holy Spirit divinely for unique moments of manifestation, he says these ministry gifts have been given to the body of Christ as the gift. The person is the gift. So just put a bow on my head. I am your gift. Pastors Marie and Martha Kelly, who are right back there, 26 years. Put a bow on them for 26 years. The gift. The gift. Pastor Michael and his function, his role. Unique, different gifting, same calling. Pastor Adam, unique gifting, same calling. Pastor Hayden, unique gift, same calling. Are you following this? All right, that's the ministry gifts. Your whole life centers around that. The spiritual gifts are then separate or different or unique in that they are brief, dramatic manifestations. They happen for a moment, and then they're finished. They do the work that God gave them to do at that particular moment. God comes upon them for that specific, dramatic, brief manifestation. Spiritual gifts. In spiritual gifts, listen, you need to hear this because some people are bitter and don't want to go to church ever again because they misunderstand this particular thing. With the spiritual gifts, character is not always involved. The use of spiritual gifts. Someone can operate in a spiritual gift and not have the character to back it up. You'd think, now that doesn't, it seems like it shouldn't be that way. But people get bitter because character is not always involved in the use of a gift. God comes upon somebody for a particular time. The gift of prophecy, that outlet for that one moment in that service or that individual moment. By the way, just real quick, I know that certain people function in a different way as it relates to the gifts because of the personality that they have. But can I just say that prophecy or words of knowledge or wisdom don't have to start with, "Thus saith the Lord, thou hast given us the..." Do you know that sometimes it's actually in common language where you just walk up to somebody and say, "You know, I sense from the Spirit of God, I just have this impression that this is what the Lord is saying." And you can be, boom, dead on. And it's no less spiritual than when you say it in an oratory fashion. Now, I'm not suggesting either one is right or wrong. I'm simply saying that it's not just the tone of voice or the location that you use it in. It is the Spirit that gives it for His purpose. Now, let's keep talking. Merely exercising a spiritual gift does not make that person spiritual or mature. I'll give you an example. In Numbers chapter 22, there's this very, very strange, unique experience that happened. There's a guy by the name of Balaam, and he was a prophet of God. And he was about to prophesy or try to prophesy the wrong thing. And God wasn't happy about it. And he tried to stop him many times, but this prophet would not listen. And he was riding a donkey. Very unique story. It only seems to happen once in all of Scripture. But the Bible says that Balaam's donkey actually saw an angel of the Lord and tried to stop Balaam by talking. That would freak me out. But that's what happened. The Bible says that the donkey spoke and said, "Don't do this," in so many words. "Don't do this. Why are you being cruel to me?" Because every time the donkey would try to turn away from going this direction, he got mad and would beat him even harder. He turned around, "Why are you beating me?" It's crazy. Wild, wacky stuff, man. If you haven't read the Bible, you need to read it. Anyway, one time says that this happened, that God used that animal. Now, he was a donkey before he spoke, and he was a donkey after he spoke. This is really important, what I'm about to say. It's very funny, but very important, because it's not as funny as I'm trying to make it. I'm making it lighthearted, but this is where people get completely derailed. They hear somebody use a gift of the Spirit, operate in a gift of the Spirit, and it's legit. I'm not talking about they made something up or they had some earpiece in their ear. The guy on the third row got into a fight and he's sick today. And then he says, "I feel that there's somebody in the third row that got into a fight and is sick." No. This is legit stuff from God to us. Okay? And you see somebody operating in a spiritual gift, but they don't have the maturity or the character to back it up. And God used them, like the donkey, for the purpose of using that vessel, because it's not the vessel that's holy, it's the Spirit that's holy. Here's the reason why that's important. People hear somebody prophesying or using a gift, and all of a sudden they see them acting like a jerk, like a fool. And they don't realize that it doesn't have anything to do with spiritual maturity. It's a gift from God that God gave for that one moment. This is really important to understand. Let's talk about the difference between the gifts and the fruit very quickly. The distinguishing mark between the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I would say the gifts versus the fruit is kind of like this. I like Christmas, and so we have a tree every year. Ours happens to be artificial. I know some of you like the real tree. How many of you like the real trees? You like the smell and just the pine needles all over your kitchen floor. Anyway, that's cool. That's great. Chop down that tree, you bring it home, you put it in there. But it's not the beauty of the tree. It's usually people hang ornaments or lights. And then my wife does a great job with that, man. I could not do it to save my life, but she has that gift. She will take a tree and make it look beautiful because she puts all the ornaments in just the right spot. She puts the smaller bulbs up here and the bigger ones down there, and she puts the lights just so, and the garland, and the way that she does it is immaculate. And it's when she finishes and says ta-da that I go, "Woo, that is a sweet looking tree." The ornaments on the tree are just like the gifts. They're there. You take it, you put it on, there it is. Spiritual gifts. It's beautiful. It's amazing. You stand back and you go, ooh, that is sweet. But it's different from the fruit of the Spirit, because if you think about a fruit and a fruit tree, an apple doesn't just boing, appear on a tree. What has to happen? A root system has to go down pretty deep. Has to be connected to rain and sunshine. And over time, that sapling becomes this tree. And over time, that tree eventually, if it's good, cultivated right and cared for, now it produces something called fruit. And so it is with a person's life. You can speak in tongues and be the most hateful, rude, obnoxious person on planet Earth, and people don't understand why that person, after having spoken in tongues or functioned in a gift of the Spirit, operating in prophecy or whatever, how in the world they could act like such a jerk. Why? Because, boom, just like the ornament. It's pretty. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's brilliant. It's Spirit-led, Spirit-ordained. But it doesn't have the character. It hasn't developed through patience the fruit. So you have to have both. You have to have the fruit, and you have to have the gifts. Now, some people say, well, I don't need the fruit because I have spiritual gifts. And that's not true. The same, well, let me give you a quick example of that. Have you ever seen a kid who turns 16 and he drives his dad's car? His dad is maybe worked all of his life and is a wealthy business owner now. And now he has a car and he lets the kid drive it at 16 years of age. And that kid puts the window down. He's leaning back. He's got the tunes cranking. He's doing like this. He thinks he's super cool, but he didn't earn the car. It was a gift given to him by his father. Are you following this? It's very important, but the same goes with those who say, well, I'm just going to operate in the fruit. All we need is love. Everything is beautiful in its own way. That would be, if we don't need the gifts, and why did he say eagerly desire them? Secondly, what I would say is this very quickly, that if you have the fruit, it's not the function of love until action is followed. That's what the book of James talks about, but we can talk about that a little later. I'll say it maybe more purposefully like this. If you were a young mother and you had a baby and that baby was clearly sick and had a temperature and all you did was rock it and say, ooh, I love you. Ooh, I love you. I love you. But you never give it any medicine, you never care for it, you never pray for it, you never take it to the doctor, you know what they would say is you're abusive. You didn't beat up the baby, you told him you loved him, but you didn't do anything with action. Love and action go hand in hand. Let's just stop right there. And I'll come back to some other things, some part of this teaching. I'm going to invite the worship team if you'd come up. And let me just say this very quickly at the very end. How do we get the gifts? It's four things. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on being filled. You can write those in later because we're going to go over them probably every week. But the Bible talks about it in Matthew 7 where he says, keep on asking and you'll receive. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. To everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on being filled. Acts 13 says it like this, and the disciples were continually filled with both joy and the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say this. This isn't the official close of the service, because I want to give opportunity to you to not only receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's an amazing gift from God. And if you've never received that, in just a few moments, I'm going to invite some of our elders and pastors to come forward, some of our prayer team to come forward. They're going to stand across the front, and they're going to give you an opportunity to receive and pray over to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's one thing. Second thing is, if those of you in this room, you need this thing unwrapped. You've heard about it, but you want to receive. You want to operate in it. You hear about it and you hear that it's so super spiritual, but God wants it to have some earthly good in your life. If you need discernment, that's a spiritual gift that you can operate in. If you need comfort, the Holy Spirit can give that to you by His power, by His presence. It's not really about seeking the gift. It's about seeking the giver of the gift. I told you my favorite gift is a homemade card for my kids. You want to know why? Because the value is in their heart toward me. They're not saying it because they want something from Dad. They're loving me because they love me. And that's all there is to it. And then, amazingly, when I read those cards, I'm like, oh, baby, I'll give you whatever you want. It's like the overflow of my heart. And so it is with our God. As you praise Him, you worship Him, you adore Him. Man, God moves. He changes the atmosphere. He releases gifts. He releases power. He releases His presence. He releases the baptism. In every way, we must be empowered to do the work of the ministry. We can't do this by ourselves. We can't do this alone. We've got to have His Holy Spirit. Tonight, we're going to take time specifically to talk very specific about how to receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you have questions about that, we're going to talk about that this evening, and we're going to pray over people once again tonight. So come back tonight for that 1 hour service from 6 to 7 o'clock. But right now in this room, three specific areas God called me to talk about. One, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can know Him right now. He's a gift. Salvation is a gift. And you can make that decision to follow Christ. Whether you're watching online or here in this room, you can make a decision right now to say, no longer am I going to go this way toward my sin. I'm going to turn in repentance and walk toward God to make peace with God. To have peace within yourself and peace with others, you got to have peace with God. The second thing is I truly feel that there are some in this room that you need help from the Lord to operate in either the gift of the Holy Spirit or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For some of you, you need patience, man. You're going through crisis. It is like an all-out war zone in your home or on the job. You've got to have patience. Or you need love. Or you need joy. You're just struggling with depression. You need joy. That comes from the Holy Spirit. Happiness is circumstantial, but joy is an absolute gift from God. Or the gifts of the Spirit. Say, Mark, I need to operate in the flow of the Spirit. Not just here, but on the job and in my home and with my family. In every way, living out those spiritual gifts. Operating as all New Testament believers were supposed to, supernaturally. So if that's you in this room, in either of those categories, the first one I mentioned is to be able to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The second is you want to increase in the fruit or the gifts of the Spirit. And third is this. If you'd say, Mark, if I'm being really honest with you, it's not the gifts, it's not the fruit. I need healing. I need a supernatural touch from God. I need supernatural right now in my life. So what I'm going to do is when I invite those pastors and leaders to come forward, they're going to stand up here and we're going to sing this song, and then I will come back to close us out, okay? So it's not the end of the service. I'll come back to close us out, but I'm going to give opportunity for the gifts of God to be released on you. And if you need that prayer or want that prayer in any of those categories, I want you to slip out from where you're at in just a minute and come forward as we worship. Those of you that say, Mark, I'm cool, everything's good, I'm going to stay in my seat. You can receive God's power from your seat as well, but I promise you there's something about an impartation. Prayer, receiving, it's biblical. And I'd encourage you to in just a moment slip out and receive that today. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We will ask you to stand in just a moment. Please, no one moving around or taking off, if you can, for just a moment to stick around, because I want God to do something dramatic and I want us to be sensitive to His Spirit. All right, you ready? Here we go. I'm going to invite the pastors, elders, if you'd stand across the front at this time, if you'd come forward, prayer partners, if you make your way forward. We saved this intentionally for the end of the service because we just wanted you to better understand those gifts, fruit, and the supernatural before we pray. Now, I'll tell you this, as they pray, guess what? They're not going to walk up to you and punch you in the face. They're not going to knock you over. They're going to gently lay their hand either on your head or on your shoulder and pray. You'll just need to let them know what you're needing prayer for. Three things, as I mentioned. The gifts or fruit of the Spirit in operation in your life to a greater dimension. I think all of us need that. The second is if you need Christ to come into your life, it's a salvation. You can just say saved or salvation. And then we'll pray that prayer with you. Or that last one. You just need to understand, no matter what God has for you today, it's going to be supernatural. It's going to be right now. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, all over this place, I pray you would do something incredible, supernatural, miraculous in every way. I pray that the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation, that God, you would baptize in the Holy Spirit those who need a baptism or a fresh infilling of the Spirit of God. And for those who say, yes, I need to be saved to give my life to Christ. Now, heads bowed, eyes closed. If you're in that first category, you'd say, Mark, that's me. I want to make a decision for Christ. I want my sins forgiven. If that's you, slip up your hand right now all over this place. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? Yeah, God bless you. Anybody else? Yes. On the balcony on the main floor, God bless you. Anybody else? All right, those of you that say, Mark, I need that fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Either you've never received it or you need a fresh infilling. Would you lift up your hand? Come on, all over this place. Yes. God bless you. So many hands lifted. Yes, I need that today. The last category, if you say, Mark, I need the fruit or the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I need that in my life. I want you to slip up your hand right now, all over this place. Christians all over the place saying, yes, I need that. 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 Maybe you need a gift of healing in operation. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Yes. God bless you. Many hands. Okay, there was a lot of hands that just went up. What I'm going to ask us to do is all of us, if we could stand right now, and I want us to sing this worship song, and as they sing, you come forward. The minute Pastor Adam starts singing, I want you to slip out from where you're at and come forward. If you're afraid to come forward, bring a friend. We'll come, you know, there'll be people with you. All right? You ready? Oh, that wasn't good enough. Are you ready? Come on, we want to function in this thing. We want to be effective on the job and in our homes and with our families, in the church. We want to be functioning in the gifts and in the fruit of the Spirit. Are you ready? All right, ready? One, two, three. Slip out from where you're at right now. Come on, come on, come on, slip out. Find someone to pray with. They'll begin praying right away. Just tell them what your need is, whatever that need is. You go ahead and slip out. Come on. Come on, go ahead and do it. If you see somebody already praying, that's okay. We'll take just a minute, slip behind them, and you just begin to pray and ask God. God can do miraculous things right now. Pastor Adam, would you lead us?
Signs and wonders from above. When you poured out your Spirit on the old and on the young, in the power of your presence, Holy Spirit, falling like a flood, break upon my praise as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire, burn within my soul as I call.
Out there in the congregation, just pray and believe God for answers, for miracles in your own life and in the lives of these who come forward. Come on.
Holy Spirit, rain, falling like a flood, break upon my praise as I sing.
Just come forward. We have people that are available if you need prayer. We got some right over here. Yeah. Christians, continue to pray. Just let God do something today in your life, in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. want to just speak a blessing over each and every person in this house today. If you need to leave, we understand. But if you can stay for just a little while longer, just bask in His presence. That'd be so good. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write His name on your heart and declare, "You're my child. No one can take you from my hand." And may you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that gets cultivated. I release you in this room to be a blessing, a Spirit-filled blessing to this city, that we might operate and function in the gifts, the fruit, and the baptism of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. People are still praying around the front. If you need to leave, please slip out quietly, but we're going to continue in this atmosphere of prayer. If you need prayer, they're here, ready to pray. And God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tonight, because I believe it'll help you better understand the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit. God bless you. We love you. We're dismissed.
Thank you for listening. Stay connected with us at dothan1st.org or follow us on social media at dothan1st. Also, if you're in the Dothan area, we would love to have you join us this Sunday at 10 a.m.